Morning. Maybe that's a little late to say, but I hope you had a restful night. Wow, yesterday was so blissful, Hare Krishna. I am really so grateful for. I guess you know when you see that Lord Chaitanya loves you despite of your own disqualifications, maybe, and that he has brought me here to Vrindavan, Mayapur, and given me the garland of Srimati Radharani, then Vrindavan is very grateful, very grateful. Krishna. I had dreams of yesterday's kirtan. It was very nice. This evening we will be first here. Our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj will lead the first session, and then we will move over to the temple. And when they are finished with their aratik, we will start our communal kirtan. Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Here's a question. I will look at this in a moment. So, Hare Krishna. I want to extend a special welcome to the father of Atul Krishna, and I think your daughter is also there. And mother, where's mother, please? Sorry? Teaching, wow! Please tell her to introduce herself also. Good. Sorry, I'm a little late. This was Brother Sleep who didn't let me go. I mean, I arose very early, but I took a little rest. So let us start immediately. Not yet there. We will hear it in our mind. Midanga, there is no midanga, no? Oh, there is. Yes, yes. Main thing is to not be too fast. Yes. Radha Madhava Kunya Vihaji Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihaji Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhaji Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhaji Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Vanachari Yamunatira Vanachari. Jata Madhava Dunya Vihaji Jaya Jata Madhava Dunya Vihaji Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare I humbly request you to now apply the two things we have learned yesterday. The first is to pray for the name to appear. Remember, Haridas Thakur said, by one's own effort, it's not possible to gain victory over the distracted mind. And the second point was that we make a conscious endeavor to move ourselves out of the center and please Krishna with our singing. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare oh, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody please, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Prabhu para jaya Prabhu para jaya Prabhu para sila Prabhu para jaya Gauranitai jaya Gauranitai jaya Gauranitai jaya Gauranitai jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe
May the all-merciful Lord, who is in control of this dam, be kind upon us, and may spiritual teachings and inspirations come to all of us, both teachers and students. Here's a question which I would like to answer before introducing the subject matter of today. So much chanting depends on being able to call out sincerely from the heart for shelter, for service and affection, etc. But I have a difficulty with this. This last year I had such troubles in executing my service and was not really giving any help or care, or not so much, from those who were in authority. I never thought it would happen to me after 30 years in which I thought I was a fairly surrendered devotee. But now I'm a bit cautious, rather faithless, that my Guru and Krishna are really the ones to call out to for shelter and service. I know this is Maya, due to my weakness and mundane vision, but how can I get the right mood again for chanting? I was tested and failed. Hare Krishna. The way I understand the question is, I'm praying for service, but it seems that my experience is that I'm praying for trouble. Because last year, this is what I got. See, you must always have in your devotional life two departments, or two boxes, or two baskets in which you place the different events in your life. There is that one area in the life where our old karma is in some ways acting. We will become ill at times, we become disheartened, and so on. A devotee sees this happens not due to the unfair authorities, but due to my own activities in the past. And now the reactions are presented to me almost like what a person in the restaurant gets after he has ordered a meal, and then the waiter is before him and says, "Here's your soup," and the person says, "Well, but I don't want the soup." And the waiter may say, "But you ordered it. I have your ordering piece of paper." So this is one thing, one basket. The experiences which come to us because of our own activities. Then there is another basket, another area in life. And that area in life is really what comes due to Krishna's mercy. So you need to have these two areas in you, and as you chant and chant and chant and chant and chant, you should know that the basket with the gifts of Krishna fill up, and somehow the basket with your karma becomes emptied out. So keep on chanting, and the mercy will come, and hopefully the disturbing factors of the karmic reactions, this reaction, they don't have to be always sinful reactions, but just the reactions to our life will go. Thank you very much. I want to encourage you. As the class goes on, this is a very nice format to write in such accurate handwriting. You write like pearls on red velvet. This is how beautiful that looks. Please do feel encouraged to put these questions before here, and then I will make an effort to either address them in the beginning, in the middle, or at the end of the morning session. Good. Yesterday, I would just like to summarize what we do. I wanted to answer the question, what is the best type of sadhana? We said it's chanting the holy name. Why? Because in this sadhana, we call upon Lord Krishna, who comes into our heart and takes the initiative in purifying our lives. That was my point. In the workshop, I wanted to discuss a little bit from Harinam Chintamani what are the obstacles so that the result of chanting takes place. Who remembers what these obstacles were? Anatas, aparadas, avidya, which are compared to clouds and mist or fog which covers the sun. So the holy name may be there, but because our we are covered with aparadhas and so on, the effect of the holy name is not there. Just like on a cloudy day, the sun is there, but we shiver because we don't feel the warmth of the sun. So today, so yesterday we dealt with the root of all clouds and all mist and so on, and that is the root of all the coverings and anattas. Who remembers what the root was? Inattention. Do you remember the Sanskrit word? Pramada, which means actually literally a type of craziness. And the craziness is, we call Krishna, but then he knocks at the door and we are absent. Nobody is here. My mind is at the moment in America at the last movie. So Hare Krishna, this is not good. And discussed a remedy against the aparada, and this aparada, which was to sincerely beg for Krishna's mercy. And we have you all obtained your prayer from Haridas Thakur? No. If you have not obtained the prayer sheet, I believe Yashomati has extra copies for you. We will have to make more. You please go to Yashomati, who will arrange that a copy is given to you. Yeah. Acha, here they are. You can, during the break, not now, because you will not be able to do two things, listen and copying. They are here. No, they are written down. Who of you have tried this morning to chant with this mood, with the mood expressed in the prayers? Oh, that's an extraordinary success. That's 1/3 of you. Normal ISKCON classes, you say something and everything is forgotten the moment they get up. So you are extremely good. students. So those two-thirds who have not yet found the time or have not remembered, please do read these prayers. Therefore, it's important that you obtain a copy of them or note them down and chant. It's very important. These classes, in particular the workshop, is not really meant to just be another sound in your ear, but it is meant to empower you in your life and in your relationship with the Holy Name. And you will only get all you can get out of them if you apply it. It's a little bit different than the normal Bhagavatam class. This is actually, we sit here for systematic training. Huh? This is a little bit the difference. So you need to actually apply the task, and it's for your own best. Really, I want to encourage you. You will see remarkable differences in your japa. It's not just Hare Krishna, there's Vishakha. Am I correct? Hare Krishna, Vishakha. I'm sorry, I should not speak so, express my joy in the midst of the class, but Vishakha happens to be one of my preferred writers, and Hare Krishna, feel very honored. Oh, then I have to be a little better here. Hare Krishna. Let's get serious here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, once again, you please apply these things, and please don't think it that I want to make your life difficult. You will really see a great difference. So, okay, this summary, I will give every morning a summary where we are so that you can see the systematic line which we follow in this training session. This summary brought us to a point which I would love to discuss. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Harinam Chintamani, there is a certain logic which he uses. He talks about the wonderful results of chanting Hare Krishna, and then he immediately goes to those strong obstacles which keep us from harvesting the results, and he encourages us to move these obstacles out of the way so that we obtain the full result. So today I would like to go to the second big obstacle which we have to absolutely avoid. Yesterday we talked about the root of all obstacles, which is inattention. You know, we have been inattentive to Krishna, or truant in our relationship. Truant means absent-minded, since time immemorial. And the way to correct this grave mistake which brought us into the world is to learn to become attentive to Krishna. Krishna appears to the conditioned soul in the form of his holy name. That's the first meeting the conditioned soul can have with God, the meeting with his name. And if we don't learn to be present in that meeting, we will actually never be successful to establish our relationship with Krishna. You can actually see how much you're present in your relationship with Krishna by testing or investigating how present you are when you chant the holy names. It's a test. If you are very present You chant with genuine affection or with gratitude or with a feeling, with just some feeling of maybe remorse. You are so good and I am not yet good, you know. Then when you are managing to be present in this way in your chanting, you know you will be also present in your relationship with Krishna. So here in the chanting, when you sit down, my dear devotees, it's not just about making a quota, or yesterday you chanted 3 long hours, congratulations. It's not just about, okay, I was there in the Kirtan course, in the Kirtan Academy. What you are actually doing is you are establishing a relationship with Krishna. And how to consciously establish a relationship while being in japa or kirtan, we will learn in today's workshop. For now, I want to speak about offenses against devotees of the Lord, because they are another reason of failing in the japa or kirtan. You know, to be absent-minded towards Krishna and to be absent-minded towards his devotees is really almost in the same category. To hurt Krishna and to hurt the devotees, that is all signs of being not there. So today it will be a little intense. I'm really sorry. I have to take you through this. It will be a little painful what you will hear today in the morning, but the workshop is very easy. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that the conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious when meeting a saintly Vaishnava. When this meeting takes place, the saintly Vaishnava will do two things. He will bring a mati in our mind. Mati means an inclination towards Krishna. Mati means just inclination, but the Vaishnava will talk about Krishna, or as he carries Krishna in his heart, we will feel inclined towards Krishna. That's the result of meeting a Vaishnava. Your inclination towards Krishna is awakened and strengthened. No? And then the Vaishnava will also give us what is called the Abhideya, the means by which we can reach Krishna. Meeting with the Vaishnava and the result of the meeting is described in an analogy, very nice analogy. Our Vishakha has written a brilliant article maybe 10 years ago in the Back to Godhead about this. It's called Spiritual Gardening or so, I remember. What happens in the meeting is a seed is given in the heart of the conditioned soul. And the seed refers to these two types of things. The sambandha or the mati, the inclination towards Krishna, and the process how to worship Krishna. It's a seed, you know, like a chickpea. A chickpea has two halves and it's in one. You must have seen chickpeas. We make ladus from it. This little, it's like a seed which has two halves in one. So the Vaishnav gives us these two things. Prabhupada also says the seed of devotional service is the taste to perform it. That's also how he explains it. So then after this seed is given, it is our duty to water it and bring it to blossom. It becomes like a creeper. It moves on and on and on and on until it reaches the lotus feet of the Lord, where it produces a fruit, the fruit of love of Krishna, which can be relished even when you are in this material world, but you are in your Swarup city. It's a certain type of spiritual perfection which you can attain while in this world, which allows you to taste the fruit of love of Godhead. Now, my dear devotees, whereas other aparadhas crack a branch of the bhakti lata, of the plant of bhakti, or destroy leaves, offenses against devotees destroy the whole plant. It's like, therefore, compared to be with to be like an elephant who moves into a garden and then uproots or tramples the plant. It's very important. You can, this understanding, you can, for instance, consider the chanting of the holy name like an auspicious activity that breaks a leaf, but the leaf can grow again. Or if you minimize the Vedic scripture, that may break another leaf or a small branch, but this can grow again. Even if you should commit sins on the strength of chanting, which is very tough, which is very bad, that will do some damage to the creeper, but it can grow again. You can, but if you should at any time commit an offense against the pure devotee, especially who is the devotee who has given you the holy name, oh, it's so bad. It trembles the plant, not just a leaf or a branch or anything. It is very disastrous. And therefore, this has been said to be the first aparadha, because of being so grievous, you know, so strong. By doing these aparadhas, the plant will be weak, but by committing Vaishnav aparad, it will die. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami talks about this, and I want to repeat the verse so that you don't think I'm speculating here. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnav, while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are also dried up. So you might think, now, wait a minute, ooh, that's tough. Why is this so grievous? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in order to illustrate and to warn the devotee community against this, gives a reason. He says that bhakti is very rare. It is a combination of two of Krishna's shaktis, the Samvit Shakti and the Hlarini Shakti. I know this is a little theoretical. I will be very practical in a moment. Just please try to concentrate. So bhakti comes to another person like electricity flows to, let me say, a machine. It goes through a cable. It flows through something. It's transmitted, this energy. So also this bhakti is transmitted through a bhakta. You cannot get it in any other way. Just like electricity, you have to go to the cable. If I take this this bulb and just screw it into the mud wall, there will be no light. I have to go where the circuit flows. In the same way, to get bhakti, and that's why bhakti is so rare, you need to go to the bhakta. For those of you who are students of psychology, bhakti is not just, let me say, an inherent emotion which you just need to pull out. No, bhakti is a given. It is something which comes from the spiritual world and is transmitted through a devotee. So when you commit an offense against the devotee, it's equal like cutting the electrical circuit, and your bhakti cannot flow any longer. Therefore, the Vaishnava apparat is so very heavy. Long ago, I was writing a book which I never published because it is so intense, and maybe when I'm dead and gone and no one will murder me, I will publish this book. It is one of the chapters is why Vaishnava apparat is the most serious offense. In that, I'm reading from the manuscript here. It is, Krishna says in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, I'm always in the heart of the devotees. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. So, because Krishna feels completely captured by his devotees, he is even doing what the atheists call a mistake. He, who is the father of all living entities, is partial to his devotees. He likes them more than the living entities who are not devotees. Krishna describes this special relationship to his devotees in the Gita. He says in the 9th chapter, 29th verse, whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend. He's my friend. He is in me and I am also a friend to him. Naturally, because of this close relationship which Krishna entertains with his devotees, he becomes very pleased if someone serves a devotee and very disturbed if someone disturbs a devotee. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The devotee excuses any offense by an ignorant rascal. The characteristic of Krishna, however, is that he cannot tolerate the blasphemy of his devotees. He just can't tolerate it. He will say things like, my mind is not under my control in this matter. I just can't tolerate it. I love my devotees. I think for us as devotees, we don't think this is a mistake. We feel, wow, he really means it. Devotion is not just a one-way street where I give my best, but Krishna himself is giving his best and becomes inclined towards me. But this has some consequences. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared emphatically, I don't know if you know this English word, emphatically, it means with a certain amount of inner feelings, you know. He said that he personally punishes a Vaishnava. And not even a bath in the Ganga, that he personally punishes someone who offends his devotee. He says, although he's the Lord of Mercy, he says, not even a bath in the Ganga, or what else can you do? Chanting Hare Krishna will save someone who has offended a Vaishnava. Would you like to hear the verse? Because it's I found it at that time and I thought, wow, so serious? I was not aware that it's so serious, but now I know. He says, everyone please listen. Let me just check on you if you are sleepy or need some encouragement to wake up. No, it's all right at the moment. Everyone please listen. Whoever once criticizes says my devotee Murari will not be delivered by even millions of baths in the Ganga. I will destroy him through his bath in the Ganga and by his chanting of the holy name. This is Chaitanya Bhagavat and Matya Leela. From this statement you can really see how upset the Lord is when you criticize the devotees. Now, the Skanda Purana goes through some detail what it really means to offend a devotee. Would you like to hear them? Oh, thank you very much. I thought you would say, oh, sorry, this is too heavy for me. So it starts with the heaviest Vaishnava Aparad. It's six, they become lighter. Let's start with the heavy one. Killing a Vaishnava. Then it becomes lighter. Criticizing a Vaishnava is a Vaishnava aparad. Being envious of a Vaishnava is already a Vaishnava aparad, which displeases Krishna. How often this happens in our society? When we see someone does better than us. But it's a Vaishnava aparad which upsets the Lord. He will not react as strong as he reacts when persons openly criticize a Vaishnava, but it makes the Lord unhappy. Listen to this. Not offering a happy welcome when a Vaishnava comes. You think, oh no, again. That's not good. Showing anger at a Vaishnava and then becoming unhappy upon seeing a Vaishnava. All of these heinous actions lead to one's fall. So, I'm almost finished with this. It is even said that when you discuss the impurities that have come from the Vaishnava's past, it's a Vaishnava aparad. This is where it can happen because, see, my generation, most of us were hippies. You don't know what is a hippie. But we know it's some type of unresponsible person who believes in his own enjoyment, which is mostly on a low standard. So Even when you discuss impurities that are already going away, or when you discuss impure activities that have taken place accidentally. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, criticizing a Vaishnava for these reasons prevents Nam Spurti, the appearance of the holy name in one's heart, and keeps one from becoming a Vaishnava. So this is a little bit serious, but if you want the holy name to appear in your holy name, you have in your heart, you need to become a supporter of Vaishnava. You need to develop a kind and encouraging nature, and which will manifest in service. This fault finding nature which we have is really a weakness of the heart. Once Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked, what is envy? And he said, it's a weakness of the heart. It's really our mistake when we pick upon someone's apparent or real fault. After all of us here in this world are having our conditioned natures, and there are some habits in the conditioned nature, some perspectives in the conditioned nature, which are bound to be faulty from the perspective of spiritual life. But it's bound to be. We bring ourselves into the process of Krishna consciousness, and we just come from the material world, and there will be some traces of impurities with us. So to pick on that, you know, and to jump on that is really showing a weak heart. You are not really in your own balance. You're not in your own midst. You cannot. Why not? Because you don't have the strength of tolerance with you. The strength of tolerance of another's fault comes by bhajan. When your bhajan, your chanting is good, you can be tolerant. Let us just imagine how tolerant Srila Prabhupada had to be in order to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world. We hear things that he stood in line to take a shower. He didn't insist on his position of the founder Acharya. So many of us have either involuntarily hurt his soft heart or disappointed him, but he remained tolerant. You must learn to become tolerant, and that comes by the strength of your bhajan. If you have a strong bhajan, you can be tolerant because you are fixed in the spiritual reality from where you can see things as they are. If you have a weak bhajan, if your chanting is weak, you can not be tolerant because you are not really fixed on the spiritual plane from where you can see the things as they are. Once His Divine Grace heard how one of His leading disciples repeatedly took hashish. I do not know if you know what hashish is. It is an intoxication, a drug. So he told Tamal Krishna Goswami, tell him if he doesn't stop to take hashish, I will reject him. Then Tamal Krishna Goswami gave that information to that other disciple. And the disciple broke down crying, oh, he will reject me. Oh, no. what to do. I'm so helpless. It's an addiction. It's I can't control it at this stage. And he rejects me. Oh no. And he lamented. And Ramakrishna took, Maharaj took pity and asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, will you really reject him? Prabhupada said, of course not. Tolerance. So much tolerance. And he had to go. There's a black history of the Hare Krishna movement, which I don't know in full, but I know a little because I'm an old person. If you would hear it, it would make you faint. Don't try to find it out. It will end in Vaishnava Apparat. And everyone tried his best, but came from different social backgrounds and had different things. Now, obviously, there is now a question. Oh my God, you will say, can I never say anything? If something is wrong and someone was doing something wrong, do I just have to say, aye, aye, sir, I don't want to make a Vaishnava apparat, everything is good, you know, and pretend to not see the mistakes? Is this a Vaishnava apparat if I call something which is wrong, and I can, then no nam spooti for me, no appearance of the holy name for me? Is this the result when I do? There are two answers which I would like to give. One is a very practical, contemporary answer, and another is a very spiritual answer. What would you like to hear first? Contemporary? Good. It comes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says that the scriptures do not forbid one from discussing others' faults, provided one has good intentions. And then he says, practically, what he means with this. He says, if some auspiciousness comes by discussing the sins and mistakes of devotees, then it is good to do so. In other words, let us say there is a wrong behavior which begins to influence others, and it is more a wrong example which begins to spread its influence in the community of devotees, or there is maybe some, let us say, some pretense going on, but behind the veil of the acceptable behavior, unacceptable behavior goes on and begins to spread or so on. So if I can't really construct so many examples, but I think you get the idea. When something good comes out to discuss the mistakes, then that intention should be there. The intention should be good. Then it can be discussed. It should not be an intention where you hurt others. I want to hurt this person, or I want to get even, or revenge. I want to take revenge. Spanish people say, revenge is a delightful dish which tastes best when it is served cold. In other words, you wait for some time and then you shoot from behind. You know, this is a very such intentions are not good and will prevent the nam from appearing. The second good reason when we can talk about it is if the result is beneficial for the world, one may speak about sinners and their activities. Such an act is considered pious. But please let us not lose the main point of this presentation. For someone who sincerely desires to spread, to please Krishna and ask him to appear in the holy name, he wants to be, what they say in English, better safe than sorry, and is very afraid to talk bad about a devotee because it might hurt Krishna, who is so partial to his devotees, like a father is partial to his own children. I would like to give you a spiritual answer now, how to deal with someone who is acting wrongly. And this answer came to me from a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada. I know in our society we have not always seen every godbrother as being full of well wishes to Prabhupada, but this is a godbrother who is full of well wishes. He has left his body, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, very, very exalted Vaishnava. And he was once asked how to deal with someone who is, in English you say, wayward, who has left the correct path. And he said something which is so nice, which touched my heart very much. He said, if there is no benefit for others, better not to criticize him. Because you don't know how often he has prayed to Krishna to save him. You don't know what's going on in his relationship to Krishna. You do not know. I have in my life as a preacher in our society often been a person in whom others confide, that means they confidentially tell about their problems, and it has often happened, and I think you know when one is a little older in Krishna consciousness, it may happen to you also that someone comes, Prabhu, can I talk to you? There is something on my heart. And I trust that you will not condemn me. Can I please have an appointment? And then you sit together and you hear the story of the devotee, a story of weakness and a story of tears. A story that someone tries to reach a very high ideal but doesn't find the required strength in his heart and is also not moved at the present moment by the wind of blessings. You know, he has no support, in other words. And you see the desperation, the guilt, the pain in the heart of someone who's not able to follow everything. And my dear devotees, that does something to you, especially when you see it quite often, when you, in other words, are an older devotee. And you begin to understand they try their level best, but they don't have all the equipment. They may be on the yoga path for the first time in their material existence. It's difficult for them to control mind and senses, whereas for others it's very easy, you know, because they have worked on this for many lifetimes and so on. So it is better to be kind. Only in those cases where truth must be protected, then one should discuss with a good intention. Otherwise, let us show some Vaishnav compassion. Let us show the compassion which we ourselves want to have on our person. Vaishnava aparad is such a serious offense because it hurts the Lord who loves all of the devotees who surrender to him. Srila Prabhupada wrote something so nice which I would like to read to you. He once expressed why we call each other Prabhu. Therefore we teach our students to address all the devotees as Prabhu. This should not simply be spoken by the lips. It should be realized. One should actually think of other devotees as his Prabhu, master. Not that he should try to become their master. Then he says, Prabhupada says, Trinarapi, please say, Trinarapi sunichena taro api sahishnuna ama ninamanadena ketaniya sadahari. Manadena, we should be always ready to offer respect to all. Not only devotees, but everyone. Everyone. Because every living entity is originally a devotee of Krishna. Circumstantially, no, that's just by the external circumstances, being covered by the coat of Maya, he is playing like a demon, only playing. But his original nature is a devotee of Krishna. Jivera Svarupaya Krishnera Nityadas. Everyone is eternally the servant of Krishna. This is this is the vision of spirituality. So I will bring this now to a close. How to counteract this offense? Say you have accidentally abused or offended a devotee. What can you practically do? Do you now have to watch as your bhakti lata is trampled and ground into a thin paste? No. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you should touch the devotee's feet in a spirit of repentance. Weeping, the offender should say, Prabhu, forgive me for my offense. And even though I'm a wicked blasphemer, give me your Vaishnav blessings. Srila Prabhupada, he explains in the Bhagavatam, by offering sincere obeisances to someone, one obliges the heart of that person. You know, if it comes from your heart and you go, oh, I'm really sorry for what I did, or for what I said. You know, it sometimes does happen in the heat of things, that we say things or act in a way. Just immediately go and correct it. When you have stepped in to with your foot on a thorn, don't just run for weeks until the wound becomes filled with pus. Immediately, as you notice the splinter or thorn entering your feet, remove it before there are any further reactions. So, and you can remove only where the splinter went. You can't remove, say you stepped on a splinter or thorn and then you want to pull it out of your ear. That doesn't work. In other words, if you have offended a Vaishnava, you must go to that same identical Vaishnava, not to someone else, and ask him for forgiveness. Very important. The second step, which is recommended in scripture, is to not just say, ask for forgiveness, do something to please the Vaishnava. Because when you do something to please the Vaishnava, you will get his anugraha, that means his pleasure. He will be pleased with you. I would like to give you an example. Gaurahari is very kind to me. Imagine I borrow money from him, let us say 20 euros. And then I spend it on a new dhoti, and I come to him and said, sorry, it's gone. Can you please forgive me that I have spent your money? Then Gaurahari will say, Tika, 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 I forgive you. But he still will feel, those who come from the Jewish community will understand this very well, he will still feel, oh, why did he just take this amount from me? But if I now come and please him by giving him maybe a dhoti, what can a brahmachari need? A dhoti, what else is good? Tilak, first class tilak, not this commercialized tilak with camphor smell, but the real thing. Maybe some new shoes, or something. Then I would get his pleasure. I would please him. To just say, sorry, this happened, that's not so efficient as saying sorry and then making good and getting the anugraha. Anugraha means kindness, it can mean mercy, and so on. Then it's totally gone. So when this happens, try to please the devotee in tactful ways. Don't do something like, you make a Vaishnava parad, and then you say sorry, and then you put 200 rupees before him on the table. it should have heart, it should not be a commercial activity, That's very important. Also, it is said the Vaishnava will forgive you, but if he has friends or followers, they will not look kindly upon him. Unless you please the devotee, no? Then it's all over. Then it's finished. I want to give one last thing. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, he returned to Navadvip. Upon his return, there was a surge of nice chanting and dancing. Millions of people came to him, seeing their Lord, their Mahaprabhu, their Nimai Pandit as a sannyasi. Amongst them was one Brahmana who had a great problem. He suffered from the after effects of Vaishnava aparad. He said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offended the devotees because I thought there are no devotees in Kali Yuga. I thought like this. They are all pretenders, they are not for real. This is, what should I do now? And Mahaprabhu said, gave this answer. What I say is the truth, he said. So please listen very carefully. Mahaprabhu prefaces his solution with saying, this is the truth, what you hear now. If a person who has committed blasphemy stops blaspheming others and instead praises Lord Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, then all of that person's sins and offenses will be destroyed. That is the right way to destroy them. Millions of rituals of atonement will not destroy them. It's really the same idea which was discussed just a moment ago. Say you have said something unbecoming and inappropriate towards the Vaishnavas and Vishnu. Now, don't just say sorry, but add the pleasing element by saying something in praise of them. Oh, Vaishnavas are so nice. In times of need, they may give one prasadam, you know, and maybe that's not a very good praise, but you know, and they try their best. They are carrying Mahaprabhu's mission to the different corners of the world. So say something in praise. The Mahaprabhu gives an example. When with my mouth I'm drinking poison, and I have poison in my system, then with that same mouth, who drank the poison, I should now drink life-saving Amrita. So I've talked la la bra 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 about a Vaishnava. Now I will praise them. Oh, Vaishnav Thakur, Dayara Sagara, you are an ocean of mercy. If that is appropriate, maybe there is someone who, you know, when you would say, you are an ocean of mercy, and he's, I don't know, you know, say something appropriate. This will be very good for you. And the example for this is the sinner Gopal. Gopal had heard about the kirtan in Srivas Thakur's place, and being envious towards Srivas Thakur, Gopal, the sinner, placed articles before the door of Srivas Thakur, which insinuated or indicated that some immoral activities were going on inside. It's almost as if, anyways, I don't want to construct an example here in the Holy Dham. You know, it was like blackmailing Srivas Thakur. And when Mahaprabhu heard about this, he cursed Gopal and he got leprosy. Now, lepers had to quickly move the village and stay in the outskirts in order to avoid infecting people, and Gopal was suffering terribly from his Vaishnav aparat. I'm sorry, I said it wrongly. Mahaprabhu did not curse him. It was the natural effect of Vaishnav aparat which came over Gopal. Gopal was just so absolutely isolated from everyone. And leprosy is such a disease. You can see how you practically die. It manifests in that the limbs, the exterior parts of the limbs, like the fingers of the hand, just first cripple, and then they melt away. They become decimated. It eats away the skin, the flesh, the muscles, and the bones, and the disease just comes, and you look terrible. There's flesh hanging from your face. It is really, and you see all this, and you suffer incredibly. So once Gauranga Mahaprabhu, after this had happened, and Gopal was staying somewhere at the banks of this Ganga, passed by, and Gopal came and whimpered and said, Mahaprabhu, can you please forgive me? Mahaprabhu said, no, you offended my pure devotee, Srivas Thakur. Now this is the result. You have to continue to suffer. The merciful Lord. would not forgive Vaishnava aparad. Time passed, and Mahaprabhu came another time, and again Gopal, the sinner, wept piteously, begging to be excused from the results of his offense. And Mahaprabhu said, I will not excuse you, but you go to Shrivas Thakur and you beg at the lotus feet of Shrivas Thakur and he will forgive you. And then it's over. Like I said to you earlier, when an offense has been made, English is my second language, I don't know. The dispersion of the offense can only come from the place where it was made. In other words, you have to go to the self-same Vaishnava, Shrivas Thakur. Not even God will forgive so easily. You have to go to the person who was offended by you. So he went to Shrivas Thakur and he asked for forgiveness. And Shrivas Thakur has forgiven him. Then he asked to be initiated, but Shrivas Thakur thought it wiser that Purushottam Krishna, another great devotee, would initiate him. And in this way, Gopal, the sinner, received initiation. Do you want to know his initiated name? Devakinanda, Prabhu. He wrote a book, and in the book is one song, Vaishnava Sharana, which we will discuss in the beginning of our workshop, not now. It's a wonderful song, which I also would like to give to you. I don't know if we can again apply to the magnanimous Vaishnavi. You could make copies of that. Our Vaishnavi is able to do that. So you will be able to collect that song. Devotees in our Sampradaya have sung this song, have gone through it, and in this way immunized or made themselves immune from the terrible inclination to commit Vaishnava aparad. You will, when I read it to you, you will feel happiness in your heart and you will want to have this song, and it will take care of this fault-finding mentality which comes from weakness of the heart, and will fortify you to be more tolerant in the future and avoid this. A practical dimension of this class, I would like to say, it's nice that we all, knowing now that we should not commit Vaishnava aparad, do Vaishnava seva. Somehow, you are the first group of students who goes through the Kirtan Academy. You are a historical community in the sense that it's the first time this is done in our movement, and it's done in the holy spot of Mayapur. I would love to encourage you to really grow as a community of learners, students, by thinking of all the little things you can do to serve the others. I liked very much yesterday there was a student whose birthday had come, and she was there distributing winter sweets which heat the body when and I thought that was a very nice gesture of Vaishnava seva. These winter sweets, they make you immune to all feelings of cold. Yeah? So in some ways, please do think about it. I will say it again so that it's easier to remember. For now, your pause has come. This was the discovery lecture. Our intention was that you find some nice discoveries which help you in your spiritual life. And in 15 minutes, we will break now for 15 minutes, we will meet again for our workshop of today, which will be... it's a surprise, I don't tell you as of now. Hare Krishna, see you in 15 minutes. Actually, one thing. We will start with a small question and answer session in 15 minutes. So if there is a question which you would like to ask, you will have your chance in 15 minutes. Hare Krishna.